Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Now,
on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
Good Friday morning to you. It's 7:06 on O'Connor and Company. Thanks for letting us finish up your week and start your weekend strong the right way over here on WMAL. Coming up later this morning at 7:35, our pal, our good friend, we will always welcome here to this program, Mercedes Schlapp, will join us. We'll talk to her about the fight over the RNC chair happening today in Dana Point, California. Big drama.
Absolutely.
Coming up at 8:35, R.C. Maxwell, spokesperson for Project Veritas. Talk about that video we just discussed. That's Patrice Onwuka, by the way. Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday, Larry.
If we must. And joining us right now, Ginny Gentles, friend to all moms and children everywhere, director of Education Freedom Center at Independent Women's Forum. And we want to talk about some school choice bills that have passed and either have been signed or will be signed across the country, and some bills that they're looking at down in Richmond. But Ginny Gentles, two things we want to get to first, though. First, good morning. Always good to talk with you.
Good morning, and happy National School Choice Week.
There you go. And that's number two, National School Choice Week, and the great celebration that you and the folks at EdForm are sponsoring over at Rockland's Barbecue in Arlington tomorrow at 6 o'clock with you, our friend Julie Gunlock, our friend Vince Colonnais. What's this event going to be, and why should people go other than the great barbecue from Rockland's Barbecue?
Well, and the great company, of course. We're going to be celebrating National School Choice Week, which is a joyful week that's been happening for years now at the end of every January. And we thought it's time for an event to happen in Arlington. We had an event on Capitol Hill earlier this week, and there have been events at state capitals all around the country. Thousands of schools have been celebrating National School Choice Week, and that's all kinds of schools because it's a celebration of all kinds of choices. So we're bringing the joy and the celebration to Arlington, and we're going to be talking about the different options that exist in Virginia and the options that don't exist and the options that should exist. And I think that's what we're going to talk about a little bit this morning. Why doesn't Virginia have education savings accounts yet?
Well, Ginny, go into some of those options that don't exist. You talk about educational savings accounts. What are some of the other proposals? And also talk a little bit about the opposition. I mean, who could possibly be opposed to school choice, right?
Well, it doesn't make sense how far behind Virginia is when you compare to other states, and that's on a lot of different categories and criteria. But if we're talking specifically about school choice, Virginia has very few options that are offered to families. And I think families don't realize, unless they've moved from another state, they don't realize what they could have. So over 15 years ago, I ran the school choice office in Florida, and we had an array of options, a scholarship program for students with special needs, a scholarship program for low-income families. Now there's one for students who have been bullied, and they just keep expanding all of these options so that hundreds of thousands of students in Florida are benefiting from scholarship programs. And Florida has 700 charter schools, which are public schools that are freed up from some of the regulations. We have seven, maybe, in Virginia. And we have a small tax credit scholarship program that has some fundamental issues with it that really limit the ability to serve students in an effective way. Fortunately, there are about 5,000 kids who are benefiting from the scholarship tax credit program in Virginia, but that program needs to be improved. Right now, Patrice, you're an expert in this area, so you could probably describe it better, but people, individuals, and corporations, when they donate to this tax credit scholarship program, they only get, like, there's a 65% tax credit instead of like 100%. And that's a disincentive for donating and makes it difficult to raise funds for the program. That needs to be addressed. And there's some legislation going through the General Assembly to address that. But the topic that we want to talk about are the education savings account, or the education success accounts is the proposal in Virginia. And those exist in Florida, over 65,000 students, and actually it's just tailored to students with special needs right now in Florida, are benefiting from education savings accounts. Arizona expanded to universal ESA last year, and that's now over 45,000 students. And then this week, guys, it's like been such a great week for other states.
Yeah.
Iowa passed an ESA and the governor signed it. And then Utah just yesterday, the General Assembly got their, or sorry, their legislative legislature got theirs through.
And we covered that this morning. I think it's fantastic that we're seeing other states. Now, here in the DMV area, how does Virginia stack up against Maryland and D.C.?
When it comes to school choice, Maryland
yeah.
has a scholarship program. And to be honest, Patrice, it's not the strongest in the in the country. And then D.C. has the D.C. Opportunity Scholarship
That's
Program
right.
that is constantly under attack by Democrats and opposition in Congress. But it has been chugging along and serving low-income students for years now and changing lives, you know, getting kids on a totally different path out of poverty, with empowered with a great education and often on to college. And so we love the D.C. Opportunity Scholarship Program.
All right, so Virginia has a real opportunity here, Ginny Gentles, and Governor Youngkin certainly ran in many respects on a an education reform platform, on parent choice platform, getting parents involved in the government-run schools. And I think he did very well his first year in following through on those promises. Now's the opportunity to step it up and actually put a robust school choice program where the systems don't continue, the failed systems don't continue to get funded, but the students and the parents and the taxpayers actually get that funding and they can make their choice. Is there a bill right now that is being proposed in Richmond, based on your expert policy analysis, that mirrors what you're celebrating right now in Arizona or in Iowa?
Well, there are always multiple bills that are proposed every year in legislatures around the country. The bill that had the momentum to make it through committee is not a Utah or an Iowa scale bill, and that Iowa is offering an ESA that's about $7,600 per year per student. Utah's offering an ESA that's about $8,000 per year per student, and we're talking wide eligibility and participation for that. In Virginia, the bill, which is HB 1508, is just setting aside a smaller portion of the state funding, and that could be somewhere around $4,600. I've seen different estimates, so a third of the state funding.
In a state where the private school tuitions are arguably way higher than in Utah or Arizona or Iowa, so. I mean, why is that? I mean, we have a Republican majority in the House of Delegates and the Assembly. Why not have a more robust option? Or is this just kind of, it's an incremental thing? It's like, let's get the camel's nose under the tent. Let's get something in that everyone can agree on, and then maybe we can expand on it next year.
Well, Larry, I know rumor has it that you were expressing frustration with incrementalism earlier this morning, and I totally understand that. Looking around to other states, like, why in the world, if Utah can do this, if Iowa can do this, you know, over 10 states are going to have ESAs, and a handful of them are going
Glenn Youngkin did not win the governorship saying, hey, I'm going to introduce really small ideas that we can grow in the future. No, he won by being a visionary and saying, I've got big, bold ideas that are going to make a difference in Virginians' lives, and I'm dominating this conversation. So, Ginny, hang on there. I want to hear your answer. It's only fair. All right, and as promised, it was just a minute, and now we're back at 7:16. And Ginny Gentles, take it from there, because you do know this stuff, and I don't mean to vent my frustration on you here. It's not on you, and it's not even on Governor Youngkin. I think that his heart's in the right place. My frustration is with the way Republicans sadly too often go about their business. When we see on the left, they go bold every time. They go big. They swing for the fences. Where are we right now on the bills that are being evaluated in Richmond?
Okay, so we were talking about HB 1508, which is that more incremental approach. And that, from what I understand, and I'm up in Arlington, I'm not in Richmond, and, you know, who knows what's really going on behind the scenes. Darren legislative sessions anywhere. But from what I understand, it's really difficult to get a bill that's not an incremental bill through the finance committees. You have a giant score on a bill. It says it's going to cost, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, and then it's dead. It doesn't get passed out of committee. This is a bill that can get passed out of committee. But let's talk about leadership for a little bit. Governor Youngkin has been great on a number of issues. He doesn't appear to be interested in education savings accounts or in this kind of school choice. In his National School Choice Week proclamation, he focused on lab schools and public school choice. And that's something that will offer limited choice to a handful of families in a small number of areas. Something like an education savings account can just break open the education freedom world in Florida, empower families by allowing them to escape their failing public school or the school that's just not a good fit. And then also giving parents leverage. For the parents who want to stay, they want their school board to listen to them. And we know in Virginia, school boards are not listening to parents. But if the school board knows this parent could walk with their per pupil funding, then maybe they'll start listening. Maybe those parents will have more leverage. So we really want Governor Youngkin to start supporting ESAs, show leadership that we're seeing from governors in other states. And we also want the House leadership to understand that parents want this. Rumor has it from Richmond that leadership in the Capitol thinks that parents don't want school choice. And I don't know who their advisors are, but they need to look at polling numbers that show that that the majority of parents want school choice. And they need to listen to the parents who are writing and calling to them and saying, yes, of course we want school choice. Yes, we want freedom and leverage, and we want support for a bill like HB 1508. And so we really encourage parents to engage their legislators directly.
Well, it's super important, Ginny, and not just Virginia, but Maryland, where I live, you know, and nationwide, we need to see the expansion of school choice because there are too many young people. And as you've been, you know, writing about recently, you know, the reports on how far behind our students are post-pandemic, some who will never catch up from where they were before the pandemic hit. You know, and I just want to give a plug to your new podcast, Students Over Systems. You're hosting it. You're going to have a new podcast episode up on a regular basis where you have these conversations with education, freedom, and school choice advocates, you know, hopefully lawmakers, I'm sure others that you're going to be talking to about this, you know, but big picture, do you feel like school choice is picking up the kind of momentum that's needed, particularly not just in red states? I mean, a lot of the states we've talked about today are led by Republican governors or, you know, Republican legislatures. But is there any traction going on in blue states?
You know, there can be surprises coming out of blue states. Illinois has a tax credit program that passed years ago when Illinois was completely blue. And so that's really encouraging. But to be honest, Patrice, I do think that this is something that we're seeing out of red states at this point. The first episode of Students Over Systems came out on Tuesday. And I wanted to start with somebody who knows about what's going on with school choice in Texas. Texas is the other state, like Virginia, who's behind when it comes to offering education freedom. They have gobs of charter schools. They're not as behind as we are, but they do not have a private school choice program. And so we talked about the Texas story, my guest and I, on Tuesday. And then I have interviewed Senator Tim Scott, former Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, and former Governor Jeb Bush. And all of them will be able to tell the story of why we do this and how we do this and how to stand up to opposition, because you know all three of them get a lot of pushback from unions, from the education establishment, and sometimes the media. And you know what? They stood strong. They have consistently supported school choice. And so a red or a blue Republican or Democrat politician who believes in serving kids and freeing families from being trapped in a system that's failing them can also stand strong. So we hope to tell those stories on Students Over Systems and inspire that courage in other policymakers.
Well, it's a great name for a podcast, too, when you talk about what's really at stake here. Students Over Systems, stop funding failed systems that are actually at odds with what parents want for their children's education, and fund the students themselves. And by the way, that's the model that works for college education right now. So it's not that extraordinary. Ginny Gentles, the host of that podcast, Students Over Systems, and she'll be part of this great School Choice Week celebration tomorrow. It's tomorrow in Arlington at Rocklands Barbecue, 6 to 8 p.m. I think you got to RSVP for that, though. I'm pretty sure you should, in fact. So go look for the details on that. Vince Colonnais will be there. Julie Gunlock will be there. And thank you, Jenny, for laying this out.
Thanks, Jenny.
Here's the bottom line. It's an election year right now. Every seat in the House of Delegates is up. That means every Democrat is up. They're going to have to explain to their constituents why they voted no on something like this, why they sided with the teachers' union that has messed things up so much in Virginia and around the country. And this is a great opportunity for Republicans to actually tell the voters of Virginia what they stand for. They don't often get it such a great opportunity, and this is it. And they're doing that by advancing four different bills, and any one of them will be. Well, Patrice Onwuka, coming up in our next half hour, we're going to check in with our very, very, very good friend, whom we love, Mercedes Schlapp.
I can't wait. She's
not
wonderful.
Only is CPAC, you know, CPAC is basically a month away. It's the first weekend in March.
That's right.
This is the, it's going to be a very important one, because this is when everybody sort of floats the trial balloon about running for president.
That's right.
Anybody who's thinking of running for president, other than Larry Hogan, will be appearing at CPAC. We're going to get a little bit of a preview from Mercedes. And frankly, more importantly, today's the big vote about Ronna McDaniel, Harmeet Dillon, and
Mike Lindell.
Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, about who will run the Republican Party for the next 2 years. And we'll get Mercedes' take on Joe Biden and his economic speech yesterday. All that coming up. Keep it here. Mercedes Schlapp next.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington, a Cumulus Media station.
Making sense of the news.
News Talk 105.9.
WMAL. Now.
On News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
The time is 7:36 on this Friday in the nation's capital, the final Friday of January. And once again, I want to remind you, we've made it through the entire month without any accumulated snow. Yeah, I know, Frederick, you had some snowfall, but that was just...
That's,
you know,
wonderful, Larry. That's great news.
I know. It's fantastic. Yeah. Love it. Coming up later in the program at 8:35, R.C. Maxwell will join us, spokesperson for Project Veritas, on James O'Keefe's latest undercover crazy video featuring a bigwig at Pfizer bragging about, you know, just end-of-the-world Frankenstein virus experimentation. Nothing big. We'll get to that coming up. That's Patrice Onwuka, resplendent in her pink today, as
Thank
is your
you.
Signature color, Patrice.
The color of my future Maybach. If I get...
When you win the lottery, yes.
Millions of dollars.
And, you know, when we have Mercedes Schlapp on the air, it's like we've won the lottery.
That's
we love
right.
her so much. We are huge fans of hers, personally and professionally, and she's always welcome here, and it's great to... Hey, Mercedes, what's going on in your life these days?
Tell me about the lottery. Do we make over $1 million? That's all I want to know. Come on. We'll split it up in threes.
Here's
great.
The problem. I figured this out. The only way you win the lottery is you actually have to play it.
And neither of us do.
Yeah, we're not really into it.
I don't really want to stand in line. Those lines are always so long. And then, of course, I have, you know, horrible luck. So I was like, forget about it.
Exactly.
Let someone else win.
All eyes in the Republican Party will be on Dana Point, California, of all places, which, by the way, people should know is a pretty strong Republican bastion down there in South Orange County, as the Republican National Committee will meet to select the chairperson for the next 2 years. And, of course, it's a showdown between incumbent Ronna McDaniel, who's running for a record fourth term. No one has ever served as chairman of the Republican Party for this long. And Harmeet Dillon, who has challenged her. Mercedes, have you done any head counts here? Have you called your friend? You know these people. What's going to happen?
You know, it's such a interesting group of people. It's pretty much a very diverse group of people, kind of divided between what you would say the Rhino Republicans, you know, the MAGA Republicans, and then somewhere in between that they're trying to come up with this sort of compromise. And it's 168 members. You know, they obviously have a chair and a co-chair in or a committee people, so a committee man, a committee woman in each of these states. And they have these committee folks in the territories, for example, Guam, Puerto Rico, which that block is very interesting because those territories vote together. And it's always a block that people, that these members or these candidates try to win over as well. So don't underestimate Puerto Rico and Guam. And these are
interesting.
But look, I got to tell you, in this race, you know, there is no question that the big message that's being sent is it's time for a change. Now, is it going to be time for a change in terms of the chairperson, which, you know, or is it time for a change that there has to be radical changes made within that building, the RNC building, which we know has been lots of money being wasted, whether it be on flowers and consultants and, you know, and the fact that they have to get fixing this problem of mail-in ballots and ballot harvesting, which the Republicans have failed in these battleground states, like Arizona, for example. And so I think, you know, I think for, you know, if it's Rana, obviously, I think she still is favored to win. Mm. But I got to tell you, Harmeet came in strong, and she's been able to garner the support of, for example, the members down in Georgia, in the southern states, which is obviously a very strong block to win over. And you have two dynamics happening right now. You have Donald Trump's team kind of quietly pushing Rana, Susie Wiles and that crew. And then now you heard, I don't know if you heard yesterday, Governor Ron DeSantis was on Charlie Kirk's show basically saying it's time for a change in leadership. So you're setting up this dynamic between where the Trump folks are and where the DeSantis folks are. So this is setting up, I say, get the popcorn, you know, let's play the lotto, and let's see who's going to win the Trump.
Well, Mercedes, I mean, this is fantastic insight that you just gave us. Now, can we, I want to just go back, go to shift gears to.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
President Biden, and he's
Before you do, Patrice, I didn't know you were going to shift gears. I just need to follow up real fast because, Mercy, you just said this is, you know, establishment versus MAGA. I don't get it. You who's who in this equation? Because, I mean, last I checked, Donald Trump and Dave Bossie are pretty MAGA and not very establishment, and they're backing Ronna McDaniel.
Have you had your third cup of coffee yet, Larry? I didn't say establishment versus MAGA. I was giving you color. Okay, these members are kind of divided into these different groups.
Okay, all
so,
right.
So, you know, but what I'm saying is that, look, I think there's no question, obviously, Harmeet has represented President Trump on many of the cases. Mm-hmm. You know, she's been a strong advocate of Trump. The reality is, as RNC chair, you can't pick sides in a primary. So if we're going to have 10 candidates run in the primary, you got to stay neutral. And so that's where whoever kind of rises from this, I don't know who would want that job, but whoever rises from this will be able to, you know, have to stay neutral. I will say one more thing. The co-chair race, Michael Whatley from North Carolina, talk about an incredibly smart, not only political advocate, but an activist and someone who's done incredibly well in North Carolina. He's very well respected in the party. One thing you need to know, the co-chair never has any power. And the mere fact that you're going to see, it's going to end up being like the McCarthy speaker race. There are going to be demands on whoever wins, if it's Rana or Harmeet, because they don't want things going in the same way. So as the same way we saw these 20 individuals in McCarthy's race pushing for concessions, these great patriots that got the job done, you're going to see, you could see a similar dynamic. And this is kind of, you know, what we're seeing with some of these Republican members where they're saying, we need to see significant changes. We got to give more power to, like, for example, the co-chair, who is actually someone who would have been a great chairman as well. But because of the mere fact that they don't want just the chairperson to have so much power.
Well, that's the key. Even if Ronna McDaniel wins another 2 years as chair, the message has been sent, and hopefully she will take that message to heart that we got to see some changes. All right, stay there, Mercedes. As I said, Patrice wants to follow up on some of the things that Biden just said, stuff going on in our country, and a preview of CPAC, which is just, what, 5 weeks away now. All that coming up with our friend Mercedes Schlapp in just a moment. It's 7:43.
So we have a rhetorical question. What in God's name would the Americans give up the progress we've made for the chaos they're suggesting? I don't get it. That's why the MAGA Republicans deliberately choose to inflict this kind of pain on the American people. Why? Why? This nation has gone through too much. We've come too far to let that happen. I will not let it happen. Not on my watch. I will veto everything they send us.
So,
well, yeah, there you go, Patrice. There's your president, as usual. He wants to celebrate his great economy, which is in the toilet, and he immediately tries to divide us along party lines and promises to veto anything the Republicans do.
Well, and it's great that we've got Mercedes Schlapp here. Mercedes, do Americans buy this line of argument? Do they actually think that he is somehow recovering, the economy is recovering because of his policies, or are they recognizing that his policies have everything to do where we've been with inflation and some of the other economic woes that we've experienced?
Right. Well, I got to tell you that he uses the word progress. I don't see the progress necessarily. When even yesterday I put in gas in my car and it was, you know, over, it's like $4.65 per gallon. You know, I do think the stress is still on in terms of you're seeing that so many more layoffs, thousands of layoffs,
yes,
especially in the big tech area. And I just think that it's very clear that many of these economists have said that, you know, it's far from over, that we really are still seeing the impacts of inflation. We're likely going into a recession, and the economy is in a very fragile state right now. So I just want to figure out with him, for Biden and the Democrats, it's about spending. It's all about spending our way out of these economic problems. And obviously that's only putting us in peril when it comes to the national debt. And in also not bringing down food prices, not bringing down electrical prices or gas prices. And I think it's a huge mistake. And their focus has been more on diversity, you know, inclusion and equity. And that's their theme in everything that they do in terms of their departments, as opposed to getting the job done for the American people. But notice they use the word MAGA Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Their goal is to target anyone that's Republican as MAGA. I say bring it on. Because at the end of the day, when we think about the MAGA Republicans, it was Donald Trump who really made our economy prosperous. He secured our borders, something that obviously we've seen Joe Biden fail at.
And by the way, you know, he said in that, you know, this is not your father's Republican Party. Joe Biden hated your father's Republican Party. He hated your grandfather's Republican Party. He has been divisive and vitriolic and hateful against Republicans his entire public life. So don't buy this. Oh, well, these MAGA Republicans we can't work with. He's an awful human being. Mercy.
Okay, Larry, just calm down.
I'm just, you know what? I'm getting ready for CPAC, okay? I'm getting ready for CPAC. I got a very treasured letter in the mail the other day from Matt inviting me to be on stage for CPAC. So I can't wait. It's the first weekend in March. You're back here in the nation's capital at National Harbor. And this is one of those, it's the year before a presidential primary year. So anyone who thinks they want to be the Republican nominee, they're going to be there at this event.
Yeah, well, we hope so. We've, obviously invited those, many of them. I mean, Mike Pompeo, we just confirmed, obviously, Donald Trump is coming. We'll obviously have a lot more surprises.
Larry Hogan?
he's even a Republican? Oh, wow. Come on. He might be assigned to Biden's cabinet before we know it. So, what I have found is that now we get a lot of the calls of people reaching out to us saying we'd love to speak, we want to participate.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that we're seeing is so many of these sponsors of, you know, these companies, which are non-woke companies, they're Americana companies that just are great patriots who just help put the event together as well. And what you're starting to see is kind of this alternate economy where people are like, I'm done with these woke corporations. I need to have other options. And it's a great place to also, you know, meet a lot of these folks that are investing in technology and investing, you know, like in different areas of financial services, for example, that are tailored more to what I would say is the center right, because people are just done with this ESG and all the craziness coming from the left. But yeah, we're very excited. It's going to be a 3-day conference, March 1st through the 4th. We're going to have all the top conservative speakers, not only from America, but across the globe. As Larry knows, Patrice, we've taken CPAC internationally. We're now the latest one we did with CPAC Mexico and CPAC Japan. We're also in CPAC. We did CPAC Australia, CPAC Korea, CPAC Hungary. I mean, it has
Fantastic.
Grown substantially.
Yeah.
So we're going to have some fun international leaders, which I can't say, also coming.
Ooh.
Because this movement, this conservative movement, is not just about freedom here in America, which is the most important goal for CPAC, to continue to protect our freedom. But it is also a worldwide movement for those across the globe yearning for freedom, ensuring that they're able to push forward a strong policy, that of, for example, strong borders, a strong economy, national sovereignty, all these great things that we push at CPAC.
Hey, Mercedes Schlapp.
Yes.
I love you. You're a great person. And you got a great family.
We
love Matt.
Is.
We love your kids. And I know you've been through hell the last couple of weeks, and you continue to be in our prayers. And the truth always wins out.
It will.
Hang in there.
Thank you.
Stay
strong. We are. God is great. God is keeping us strong. So thank you all. Thank you so much.
It's 7:53. All right, Patrice. It's Friday, and we've got our big 8 o'clock hour coming up. We're going to speak with the spokesperson from Project Veritas on this absolutely insane installment of this undercover report on this Pfizer bigwig. In research and development, talking about mutating the COVID virus because it's good for big bucks for Pfizer. So.
Yeah, cash cow.
But what he did when he was confronted by James O'Keefe is insane. It's the first time in Project Veritas history where a target actually got violent.
Wow. It's like an episode of Cheaters, if anyone has ever seen that show. It's just like that.
Yeah, so we're going to get into that. But next, did you see this new statue that's been erected in New York?
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Pagan goddess. It's like a golden calf or something.
It goes back to biblical days. I'll just put it that way.
We'll talk about that. Removing...
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.